Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It is the Nintendo Positive Cast. What is happening? I'm your host, N64 Josh Crawler. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how's it going? Crawler coming at you.
And Johnny Bo, how the heck are you?
I'm a little tired. Yeah. Not going to lie. It's like 3:30 in the morning. Not going to lie. It's a little
3:30 in the morning. I have ruined your sleep schedule. Ruined.
Nah. It's the weekend. You're all
right. Time is relative, right? Like, it doesn't actually exist.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
You're just on the West Coast. You just happen to live east. So,
so Crawler and I have both been thinking about our sodium levels from the last episode. I don't know.
That was super positive.
I don't think it was a lot of salt. I think it was just
knee-jerk reactions.
Some knee-jerk reactions, and we did. I want to see new stuff that we didn't know much about. And the main thing we wanted to see was Mario Kart, of course, right? But the moment Metroid Special Edition came available, all three of us pre-ordered it. The moment the Amiibo became available, all three of us pre-ordered it. And
we're the lucky few.
I can't wait to get my energy tank and my missile tank. All right, I'm done. Nope, this is positive. Sorry.
So, we've gone back. We were just like doing some investigating into the Breath of the Wild 2 trailer. You know, very excited for that game. We knew it was coming, right? We've known about it. It was pretty much a guarantee we were going to see it. And
there was more to it than I think we all realized at the beginning. Like, it was only a 1:38 trailer or something like that. It's not very long. But just spending the last 20 minutes that we did, I pulled out my Zelda encyclopedia. I was flipping through stuff, looking at Skyward Sword stuff, just because I'm naive in that. I'm looking forward to educating myself in that game here when it comes out in July. I have a Wii copy sitting somewhere that I just don't want to play it on my Wii. So
you played on Wii U?
I have a Wii U sitting right. Where is it? It's over. Over here, it's there. It's just not hooked up yet, but yeah, it's there. but yeah, like there's lots to dive into that, and we're gonna talk about it a little bit. But we just kind of like I consumed a little bit more of the E3 breakdown content this week, and like a lot of the community, I think is excited. I think there are positives that came out of the E3 show. I re-listened to our podcast, which I don't normally do. But I wanted to definitely see how we came off. And Johnny and I both re-listened to it. Josh, I don't know if you don't usually have the time to re-listen to all the stuff you do, but, I think we felt like it was fair criticism on some of the stuff that we were doing. But like Josh said, we were just wanting to see more new stuff. And I think COVID has definitely taken a toll, which I think we acknowledged. I think we acknowledged that in the show last time, but it's something we're passionate. Like, you guys all might think we've fallen off the Nintendo hype train, but like, we're all excited for golf. We're all excited for Metroid.
You should see the podcast. You should see the video version right now. We're all wearing Nintendo stuff.
We are.
My whole room is Nintendo. Like, it's literally, I have no Xbox stuff in my room right now.
Based on recent reviews, this show was definitely created as a bandwagon Switch.
Positive, Switch, dude. Positive. It's positive.
Switch podcast. And no, another factor in all of this, like, yes, COVID absolutely a factor. You guys, the first 4 years of the Switch have been like absolutely amazing. Amazing. They themselves have set the bar so high for what they're, you know, when they ended with, when they ended that, the direct with the reveal of Smash, that was crazy.
Yeah, when Smash Ultimate ended, reveal.
Yeah, 2018 ended with Smash. 2019, Breath of Wild sequel 2 is happening. Like,
right.
I mean, so
it again, that's in why, the next,
yeah, and that's why I think
Splatoon 3 even was like, yeah. Yo, right? And then this one ended with a kind of a not great DLC for Hyrule Warriors, and then
without even a true great one more thing either, like we talked about,
right? And so when you have Nintendo coming out so strong for the last 4 years, and then this one being a little, like, I understand, like, keeping expect, but, like, they have trained us to expect that one more thing to be something phenomenal. And I really thought we were going to see, you know, Mario Kart or anything other than, let's see. Now, don't get me wrong. Breath of the Wild is amazing. I could not.
Watching that trailer got me hyped again. Like, doing what we just did, the deep dive into analyzing, like, what's going on and comparing it to the 2019 reveal. Like, I'm hyped for it for sure. I'm definitely hyped for this game. But I agree. I think we should have saw something.
It should have wrapped up.
Metroid Prime 4. You know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes,
something. Or at least Bayonetta 3 or something were waiting on. But
yeah. Even if Mario Kart 9 was like 2024. You know, I mean, look what they did.
Yeah, give us the Breath of the Wild 2 treatment that was 2 years ago.
Yeah. And so it's definitely a factor in all of this, right? And I could not be more excited for Metroid. Metroid is going to be great. Like John just said, going back, I cannot recommend enough to you, go and watch both of the trailers side by side. Like, open two windows, watch them both, like, compare, contrast. There's a video where you can watch in reverse because clearly the music starts to get played backwards.
It looks right in reverse. It looks right. Like, it looks like that's how they made it, and then they put it in reverse, and that's what they gave us.
It's a little bit wild. The something that's kind of cool, when at the very beginning of the new trailer, you see Link, his arm.
6 seconds in, if you want to pause it.
His arm gets grabbed by the Calamity. And then when he's free falling, his arm looks kind of jacked up, right? And then
later, when he has like the stasis with the balls coming down the hillside, he uses that right hand. And I think, and also on the trailer before that as well, you see like,
a glowing,
yeah,
like a guardian, like some of the ancient weapons, right?
Yeah.
So some you take
like the Sheikah tech, yeah,
and then go back and watch the first trailer. That same glowing blue hand grabs Zelda as she's falling. If you pause in the beginning of the second trailer,
it's the same scene. I think it's the same scene.
I think so too. I think you can kind of just put the two.
Before the gameplay, I'm just the first.
Yeah, it's the open. It's the opening cinematic. What we saw in the 2019 trailer, and what we see, like Link's arm getting messed up, because that is the 6 second mark in the new trailer from E3, is the only time you actually see Link's face in the whole trailer. Which new theories have sprouted online this past week as well, which have fueled the fires.
I'm buying them. That's canon. That's game for sure.
But I mean, that whole thing of going into a dungeon, I think it's Ganon that's being awoken, or Ganondorf in some sense. So yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. And I think that's all pre-gameplay. type cinematic, and then we break into it. But the question is time travel on the table? Age of Calamity, the Hyrule Warrior stuff introduces time travel. We've had time travel with Ocarina of Time and going back and forth with that a little bit. But I think, like we talked about on Tuesday, I think Skyward Sword coming out as HD remaster is not a mistake. It's a homage, education, if you will, for what we're about to partake in and what kind of setting we're going to be in with Breath of the Wild 2.
So what I got out of the opening cinematic is they're under Hyrule Castle, and that is Ganondorf, and the Calamity's coming out of them, because when, you know, in Breath of the Wild 2 or Breath of the Wild ends, you face Calamity Ganon in Hyrule Castle, and then you go face the giant,
the demon thing. Ganon.
Spoilers. Yeah, demon Ganon.
It's 5 years. It's been, you've had your time.
But I think that the Calamity is coming out of that Ganondorf, and then he'll be resurrected once you defeat the, like, this is the post Breath of the Wild gameplay that we wanted in the DLC. That,
and we also saw Garuda jewelry on that, yeah, that skeleton type thing from the 2019 trailer, and the quick pause that you do at like 9 seconds or something like that into the recent trailer, you see the same kind of jewelry on what we believe is Ganondorf. So I think there's a lot of signs that point to Ganondorf being the either a protagonist or obviously going to be your enemy, but possibly you're playing, you get to play as Ganondorf too. Maybe a young pre-corrupted young Ganondorf.
Yeah.
Nintendo has said they don't know, or they're not saying what the name of the game is, right? And it makes me wonder if it's something as simple as, like, you know,
Ganon's back.
Breath of the Wild 2.
Ganon's back.
No, but something as simple as, like, you know, the Hero of Time, or
it could be the return of Ganondorf or something like that.
It could very well be that. It could be something that directly leads to time travel, which they've hinted at, and time manipulation, right? And if you think we have
Skyloft possibly being involved, which
Ocarina of Time 2
there. But I mean, time travel is not something that is foreign to Zelda games.
No.
A link.
Most of them have it. Like,
right?
A lot, like, of them have it.
A link between worlds. The
Ocarina of Time.
The Song of Time.
Majora's Mask.
Right? Like,
this isn't, most of them have it. A lot of it. I don't want to get bad reviews. I don't know if most of them have it. A bunch of more than one have it.
So it was lacking, missing in Breath of the Wild, right? But then you get Hyrule Warriors.
It's opening scene, a guardian comes from the future, and yeah,
there's a theory that the Age of Calamity timeline is Breath of the Wild 2 timeline. Like when it branches off.
Well, I was honestly expecting DLC that, like, finished up the story and here we go. And then nope, that's not.
Yeah. I was going to say, cause the official timeline that came out in the encyclopedia came out like right around the same time Breath of the Wild did. So Breath of the Wild wasn't included in that timeline. We don't know. I think, what is there, 4 branching, after Ocarina, it branches into 4 different.
Well, this is probably on the Skyward timeline then.
Well, Skyward Sword is the very beginning of the timeline, so it goes. I could pull it up here so we get it right.
We're so gun shy now. I like shooting from the hip.
I have spent some time, you know, trying to figure out this whole timeline thing, and it gets confusing because mm-hmm. it's like you branch off with like The Legend of Zelda and then Ocarina of Time and then, you know, the events that happened here then lead to these events here. Like it's a little bit convoluted, and it's like, I don't feel like this was part of the original plan.
Yeah. Cause it's Skyward Sword, Minish Cap, Four Swords, Ocarina of Time. And then
Four Swords. Why is that even in there?
Yeah, I don't know. So then Ocarina of Time happens, and then there's three branches that come out of Ocarina of Time. One where you're defeated, and that is what sparks A Link to the Past, Oracle of Seasons, Oracle of Ages, Link's Awakening, which is a fever dream off kind of its own subset. Spoilers. And then again, how old is that game?
The remake came out like 2 years ago.
The Statue of Limitations is up. And then following,
some people have been waiting to play it on Game and Watch.
Game and Watch, yeah. The most inferior.
The best version. Wait, no, stop.
And then after Link's Awakening, there's the original, so Legend of Zelda, and then Legend of Zelda 2, Adventures of Link. I know that's why it gets difficult. And then out of Ocarina of Time, there's two where you're successful, one which sticks in the child era, which is where we have Majora's Mask, and then Twilight Princess, and then Four Swords plus Hyrule Adventure, which was the DS one and not the Game Boy Advance one. And then you have the adult era of Hero successful on Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time, I misspoke there. Where you have Wind Waker, and then which is where Hyrule floods, and then Phantom Hourglass, and then Hyrule the flood subsides, and we get Spirit Tracks because they rebuild with the trains. But yeah, it's all over the place. So we don't know which of those three timelines Breath of the Wild takes place after.
That one's like a Toon Link timeline, right? The adult Link, Wind Waker one, like that. I feel like they say they're on the same timeline. It's because it's Toon Link.
Yeah. I mean, but like there's homages.
There's no connecting factors.
There's connecting factors in Breath of the Wild because there's homages back to a lot of them. Because you have Majora's Mask, you have some of the other kind of item. I don't know if there's anything.
Oh, the DLC like stuff, like the actual Majora's Mask.
Yeah.
Does that count? That's like
it's in the game. I don't know. I don't know how the rules work.
I feel like that Hyrule Historia, because that's what that timeline's mm-hmm. from, right? Like that was somebody had like a new. I don't know if Anuma signed off on that, but like somebody was like, "Yo, people have been asking for this.
We got to make sense of all this.
We got to make a timeline for some reason.
Let's draw some lines to different games and
not make just it, say, make it make sense. You know, there's always a new. I thought it was always a new hero. Like I always thought it was just a new hero.
It's reincarnations, is what it's kind of supposed to be. But yeah, I don't. I mean, they're connected in some ways.
Get back on the positive train.
One of the things that John, you kept mentioning a lot while we were watching it was, is this the same Link throughout the entire trailer? Because they look kind of different. If time manipulation is a thing, if time travel is a thing, we could be playing like different Links from different time periods.
The Zelda multiverse.
One of the things, and again, I'm not an expert in Zelda lore. Like, go check out Game Over Jesse, you know, some of those other Zelda channels for that. But he's a rad dude, by the way. I love that guy. So, you know, go show him some love. But one of the things that I noticed, like in the trailer, we see the castle lifting up. Everything looks dark and gloomy and pretty, pretty depressing. Right. And like not in a good place. Yet when the initial Link is free falling, if you look below him, everything looks pretty happy and like bright and not all dark, and he's in the sky. It doesn't look like there's much, you know, calamity stuff going on there. And then when the music starts playing in reverse on the trailer, the grass is green. He goes up through, you know, through the stone.
Or he falls through. You never know.
Or he falls through.
We don't know. That's a cut. I don't trust that section of the video because that's a cut. Like it's not smooth.
Maybe it takes place way before the calamity, and then something
because the moblins have horns. We don't know.
Yeah, that was all. Yeah, the moblins and the bokoblins, they have horns now, which they didn't have in Breath of the Wild 1. But those scenes are the ones with the character that we could assume is the current Link, because that was down on the Hyrule plane and not in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know why they're unicorns now. seems like a random change.
One thing we kind of ruled out looking at the different cuts, but it's still a possibility. Zelda has shorter hair, both in the 2019 trailer and this trailer. We don't know if maybe Zelda is a possibility that we're playing as her.
There's this one thing that rules it out for me. It's the right
side. The clothing options.
The clothing option is a little risque for Nintendo.
Little mature.
If Pyra and Mithra,
they had to put on tights, you know. So
and yeah, so that's I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. So.
I hope so. I would love a playable Zelda. Sorry, I just want. I would love a playable Zelda. I'm sick of the damsel in distress trope that we've had in Legend of Zelda since the beginning of time.
Because especially in Hyrule Warriors, she proves that she's formidable and can be a warrior too. And even in as Sheik, I mean, she wants to fight.
Yeah, the thing that worries me is that, you know, the first. Yeah, stop with the spoilers, Scott.
Well. I can't guarantee anything, you know.
In the first, you know, 15 seconds of the opening cinematic, she falls down a hole. So she's probably going to be predisposed again.
Yeah.
So it's. I don't know.
Well, she does, but if you watch the new trailer or the old trailer, original trailer, she gets caught by that blue hand.
That's true. That is true.
And so it might, you know, what if there's co-op, right?
I hope so. Everybody wanted co-op in the first game. Like there,
if Four there Swords is that, in the timeline, we can have co-op in Breath of the Wild.
All right. Stack them up. Let's do it.
we'll get co-op. It will just be another Link.
Right. It's the shorter one with the different hair and the toga or whatever that he's wearing. Well, it's Toga Link. So I mean I've said this before about the series with time travel and stuff. I would love it if not only we're in Breath of the Wild, but there were points where you have to travel back and maybe even work alongside. Could you imagine going back to the 8-bit game and there's a short
area Mario Odyssey style where we're just playing homage to everything.
Actually,
it would be really, really cool. And then Link to the Past, you show up and help. Don't do long missions, right? But just something that's kind of like to help keep the timeline the way it's supposed to be. Because maybe Ganon has gone back and changed it.
The sacred timeline.
The time variant authority has got to get involved.
Maybe that's what Loki's setting up.
So we're hyped for Zelda. Breath of the Wild 2022 can't get here fast enough.
I hope
this year.
Positive. It's hitting 2022.
And and even more positive, maybe it's coming on the anniversary. So we get it first quarter.
Hey, there we go. Still being this fiscal year. I like it.
Sorry,
I like it. It's going to be a holiday. don't think it's not coming out this next holiday, which is fine. Give them as much time as they need. Polish this game to the masterpiece that it could be.
Give it to us a month before what's Bethesda? I'm drawing a blank on the name right now. It's too late.
Starfield.
Yeah. Give it about a month before Starfield. So we can all play through.
Right. Yeah. Before we're just lost forever in Starfield. By that point, maybe Game Pass will be a cloud on the Switch, and you know, you can play both. So
the server blades are going to be upgraded and handling it all.
Somebody's going to just mod their Switch to get a browser, and they're like, look,
well, that's when they're going to have Switch Pro, and it won't have to be cloud based.
Okay. Right.
It'll be native.
Yeah, because they're going to give us a terabyte of storage so that we can keep all those games on that Switch Pro. Animal Crossing news. Doug Bowser, in an interview, I think it was on The Verge, said that although Animal Crossing was not at E3, there are still major plans for that game because they do not want to leave the 31 million players hanging.
They'd be stupid. They're like their third best selling game on the Switch, right?
I think it's the second.
I think it moved up to number two.
Is it number two?
Because Mario Kart's 35, Mario Kart, and then Animal Crossing,
then Smash.
A lot of people are like, I was watching, you know, content like Crawler was, and seeing E3 reactions and stuff, and a lot of people were not happy that Animal Crossing wasn't even mentioned. They didn't say anything about it.
I'm not too surprised, because back when Odyssey came out and they were asked about DLC, they were like, we hadn't even thought about it. Like,
you guys wasn't
even, yeah, they were surprised, right? And Animal Crossing, their initial sales projections were like 10 million. That's what they were hoping for.
And then COVID.
And then 31 million or whatever now. So it's like it would be crazy for them not to sell us something else with that game. And I will buy it in 2 seconds, because I would love to get back into
because people want like the Brewster hours. Like a Brewster update.
Brewster's Cap'n. Where's Cap'n?
Give us an,
well, you're on an island, you don't need Cap'n, right?
You're going to a city. He takes you to a city this time.
Yes, let him take us to the city island. You know, maybe it has some nightlife, and Gracie and Brewster and Red can set up shop and not just show up, you know, whenever he wants, never.
And new stuff. Just give
us. Does he show up? I haven't played Animal Crossing in a long time. But like, what's the algorithm for him to show up?
Yeah, I don't even know. I had the community hook me up.
I have one painting, I think.
So Mike, shout out to the
Discord. Do you have real art and not fake art?
My museum's full. It's done. I have everything except for a couple fish.
Streamer perks. Streamer perks right there.
They can't help me with the fish. That's on me. So, you know, all the bugs are done.
I did do the fossils. I got all the fossils.
They can't put fish down for you?
No, you can't pick them up. They can't. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Can't do it. So, so it's coming. That's good news. That's super good news. Really excited to hear that we're still, you know. And
well, they're probably thinking exactly like the Odyssey thing. They're probably like, what? There's so many people playing this game.
Yep.
And they don't like our monthly updates for some reason.
Well, and I saw somebody mention, I think it's like, I think he goes by like Dan's Nintendo News or something like that on Twitter. And he's like, you know, I've noticed a pattern every time an event comes to a close. It's shortly after that they'll then talk about. But I think DLC for Animal Crossing is a little ways out, because I don't know that it was necessarily initially planned.
I don't think we'll get DLC. I think it'll just be free updates.
They got a captive audience.
Yeah, 31 million.
I pay for it, and I don't even play that game.
Here's $20 DLC for 31 million people.
Just make it better.
I don't understand how we could be perceived as non Nintendo fanboys. We buy whatever they release,
and we talked about
questions.
We talked about being disappointed by Advance Wars. I know all three of us are going to buy that.
Oh yeah, I'm buying it.
Well, the other thing too, like initially we were disappointed. Technically, it's two $30 games put together. That's still not
also. This was pointed out to me that you, if you bought the GBA games like on eBay, you'd be spending more. Like I think the first game is $50.
Wow.
Out of box. Like I don't think that's in box.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the DS Advance Wars. I think that's the only one I have. So but again, hopefully that I buy this game, buy Advance Wars, and buy Metroid. Right?
Buy Metroid.
I've seen Metroid. John's TikToks.
He's do like, whatever you
I'm buying it twice. I'm buying it digitally. And I'm buying the special edition.
You have six Switches. Buy it six times.
I may even buy the regular edition just so I have both boxes.
You don't get the box in the special edition.
Don't get the plastic box, right? So
my whole TikTok and content is just going to be Metroid propaganda for the next 4 months.
The movement of Samus in that trailer, like the deep dive that Treehouse did, like it. It's so
there was a tweet going around. I don't know if you saw it. It was I don't know, somebody said like, why would you spend $60 on a indie 2D platformer game?
Yeah,
like, indie. Go ahead. Like indie? Nintendo's an indie developer now.
but you know what Nintendo did with Metroid? Exactly what I was hoping they would. Find somebody that loves the franchise, that cares about it, that will put the passion into it. And Samus Returns, if you have a 3DS, go buy that game and give it a shot, because
I'm taking my 2DS with me, or my 3DS with me on my trip here this week, and I'm gonna start it back up because I don't think I got very far, so I'm just gonna wipe my save file and start again.
I'm at a spot in the game where I'm like, I just keep dying a lot, and I'm like I'm like, did I forget some of the, like, there's enough added to those games that it's not just your simple, just, you know, run and shoot. It's like, oh, I forgot I can like parry and melee and stuff. It's like, it's different, but
I'm half intrigued. I know I'm going to replay Super Metroid on Switch after I finish Samus Returns. And then I was talking to you guys earlier this week, I think, on my Wii U, I think is the best way to possibly play Fusion. I think it's there. So I'm gonna log into the eShop there. And get Fusion, and I'm gonna educate myself.
Zero Mission is there too.
I'm just gonna re-educate myself and educate myself, because I haven't played all of the installments, so I'm gonna try to get my way through that. I love Metroidvanias, so I mean it's part of what created the genre, so it's I'm gonna take some time and get into it.
Have you never played through Super Metroid?
I played Super Metroid.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, because that is like
speaking of games that I would definitely spend $60 on if they just port them to the Switch, like the two GBA games. Give me Zero Mission. Give me Fusion. I'd pay $60 for that.
Let me pay $35 a year for my Nintendo Switch Online and get some of those
games. That was in my prediction in the prediction show. And then
there's been,
I thought with the new online infrastructure, I thought they would bring out some new features for the Switch Online, which they might, but we didn't see it.
I think we saw from Nintendo and Xbox, it was gameplay, games, and then we'll talk about, like, you know, Xbox did the design lab in any extended showcase, right? It wasn't, they was like, no, the E3 main show is games.
And Nintendo's, so many people are still talking about that too.
Yeah. But Nintendo was the same way. Just games. But yeah, then the design lab, it was hyped afterwards. Nintendo could drop another, like, you know, tweet with a YouTube video saying, hey, we're adding
Pokemon
this
to Unite.
Nintendo Switch Online.
Pokemon Unite.
Or Pokemon Unite. Yeah, that's...
You're their major IP. You know?
That people have been wanting to know when that was coming out, and then they bury it at the back end of the week, which I don't...
I mean, Pokemon always does separate stuff. But...
It does, but they should utilize the platform when it's there.
They didn't show Arceus. They didn't show Diamond Pearl. I don't.
Yeah. But stay away from that. Unite's going to be free to play. Yes. If I remember correctly.
Yeah,
so, I mean, that's going to be fun. I'll definitely download it.
It's on Switch as well. I think it's going to be on Switch and mobile.
It's Switch and mobile crossplay. At least if everything holds up from what it was in the initial reveal when they had influencers there and were doing stuff.
But mobile's not until like September.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah. I'll look it up. But
well, and Canada's been doing the beta on it or something like that too, I think.
But you could put costumes on your Pokemon, and that makes it well worth it.
Of course
you can. I'm going to make my Cinderace a pirate, and I'm going to be happy.
You're going to make your wallet bleed.
Pokemon might own me more than Nintendo owns me. I opened 70 packs of Pokemon cards today. 70.
They're
$4 a pop. Woo! I think it's some good stuff.
Sheesh. You could have bought...
You could have bought a Switch.
You could have bought a Switch. So... Yeah, I mean, and Pokemon Unite, that's going to be an exciting time. Like, I'm that's looking July forward too. To, yeah, July 2021, and mobile is September. So, but I mean, that's great. That's the kind of thing that, like, that's going to have a massive player base, and if the game delivers, it's going to be a massive success for the Pokemon company and for Nintendo, and that's a good thing for us.
And I think, isn't Tencent involved in that as well? Like, aren't they?
Probably. I mean,
it's their mobile team. Taimai. Remember, we were trying to figure out how to say this. That studio. It's the mobile developer
In Taiwan or something like that, right?
Taimai. I can tell you exactly. I just clicked it. It looks like they're in China.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in China. So. I feel like they were remember back at the very early stages of like when they were talking about how the Switch would be integrated with mobile and Wii U, and they were all, you know, it was all going to be one big happy. Like, and I think this was one of the studios that they talked about initially.
And then they're like, Switch is selling well. It doesn't really need it. So we're going to kill all our mobile games.
Yeah. We're going to DS and then the Wii U.
I'm not going to say the name because that got us in trouble last time for the one mobile game.
What? Go ahead.
Miitomo. I know it right. It was Miitomo. But they killed Miitomo. I mean, they still support like Fire Emblem Heroes.
Fire Emblem Heroes makes them a lot of money. That's how I got a lot of my platinum points when I needed to redeem for different stuff. I went in and spent an afternoon playing through the chapters in Fire Emblem Heroes.
If people are only playing Fire Emblem Heroes and not the mainline Fire Emblem games, I'm highly offended. Please play the mainline Fire Emblem games.
They wouldn't get money from people if they didn't play the mainline games, because the people that are pouring money into that game are the ones that are chasing down their waifus.
Waifus have power across games, you know?
And chibi waifus apparently are the thing with Fire Emblem. Well,
there's like bathing suit waifus in that game.
It's the worst. I go to play it and I'm like, oh good. I have like dude running around in his underwear with a fish sword, but he's like my highest level. You know, like I'm just like, wow, that's what I want on the that's what I want on the battlefield, you know. So
they should put those games on Switch. I don't know why they don't.
The past Fire Emblem games or the mobile games?
No, just the mobile games.
They got to worry about being available in other countries when it comes to that, because Belgium and certain states now, even in the U.S., I think, are restricting the gambling.
Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure this Pokemon Unite's gonna have it.
Loot boxes?
I don't know.
I mean, as long as it's more of the directly understand what you can get out of it, and it's not the ever since what was it? Battlefield or Battlefront 2. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, that's when the legislation started rolling out that they were not liking the complete randomness of it all. So now you have to spell it out quite a bit more.
So here you go. Enjoy even more Pokemon Unite with the Battle Pass. You'll have the opportunity to earn in-game rewards through Seasonal Battle Pass. To earn these rewards, you'll need to level up the pass by completing missions. Additionally, players can upgrade their Battle Pass by using EOS Gems. I don't probably didn't say it right. Enabling them to
claim AKA even more rewards.
AKA premium currency.
Premium currency.
Your levels.
Just welcome. Like
you can in Fortnite. I was going to say, because I know Smite has like a battle pass. I'm sure Dota and League of Legends does. So those MOBAs. You have to pay
for your characters and stuff. I don't think you have to pay for your characters,
Smite you can still buy characters, but I know Smite has a battle pass.
That's not all. Obtain items via shops. Pokemon Unite has three types of in-game currency.
Three
EOS gems paid, EOS coins, and EOS tickets. EOS coins and EOS tickets can be acquired by playing the game at the Unite Battle Committee. Players can use EOS coins and EOS gems to obtain Unite licenses, which will allow them to take Pokemon into Unite battles. At EOS Emporium, players can use EOS coins and EOS gems to obtain UBC approved goods like Pokemon held items or trainer sounds fashion so items. Gross. So wait a minute. Players can use EOS coins or gems to obtain Unite licenses, which allow them to take Pokemon in to Unite battle. So is that the way they're wording? Like, if you want
to play champion,
yeah, you have to pay for champions. That's what it sounds like.
Well, there's going to be free ones, of course, but like, yes. Yeah, so are we saying if you want to play as Charizard, you need to buy the hero?
That's what it sounds like.
I'm wondering if it's going to be you only get so many free plays and then you have to buy the time. Yeah. That's scary.
It sounds so gross. Oh, I hate free to play stuff.
They're going to make an absolute fortune, and Mario Kart's going to be there. There's going to be a battle pass in Mario Kart. Just wait.
I wouldn't mind if it's just a battle pass. I wouldn't mind because you don't have to buy it. But if you have to pay for, like, Charizard, say for Charizard, like, that would be annoying. I want to play as Charizard. I don't want to play as Rattata. Well,
you'll be able to buy just Charizard for $20, you know?
And then you get Charizard with a hat for another $20.
But it'll be converted into a currency that you can't really tell how much you're actually spending, so.
Oh, I hate free-to-play. Free-to-play kills me every single...
Yes, like, but we all say that, but then, like, nobody wanted to pay $10 for Mario Run, so that's why they've gone back to it.
I paid $10. I was happy.
I think I paid $5. I bought it when it was on sale, but still.
There's also Zirko Trading specializes in Holoware, which can be obtained using EOS Gems. I have no idea.
I have this stack of codes from my card openings.
Yeah.
Can I use them?
I doubt it. What do the codes do?
Isn't that for the digital version? Yeah. Wow.
Got it. And if you want more information, you can go to Unite Pokemon, unite.pokemon.com. So there you go. The Nintendo Positive Cast. We still love Nintendo. We're excited for Mario Golf in 1 week. I hope
that's in a week.
You're ready for me to dominate you guys on the links. I'm just throwing it out there right now. Yep. Nobody is going to be able to beat my Mario in speed golf. He's going to be the fastest. I'm going to target Waluigi, probably Green Mario. Just throwing it out there. So there you go.
Charging Chuck.
Yes, you did say that. I'm interested. I mean, my go-to in cart is King Boo, so we'll see how Boo plays in golf.
Boo is in golf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Awesome. Crawler, where can people find you?
You guys can find me hanging out in the Discord. It's back alive ever since I declared it dead on Tuesday. I know they came to resurrect it, and Hate Zero is back from his week and a half bender with his friends celebrating. He did talk about he was too old to be drinking as much as he was. So So he was, he was hanging out with some old friends, and he was a little unplugged, I think, for the last couple weeks. But he's back and chatting up in main chat. So make sure you go say hi to him. You can catch Hate Zero and Josh and myself on Press Pause coming back here in July. And we're going to have some fun things for you. You can catch the three of us on the new Halo Infinite podcast, which we just recorded our second episode. Our first episode was a lot of fun to do. This new one as well was a lot of fun. But the first one, go check it out. We did a deep dive into like the 8.5 minutes of gameplay that we saw this past week on all that's going to be involved in Halo multiplayer. And then you can also find us having shenanigans late night playing Halo 5 campaign on legendary difficulty, dying lots, having the computer AI res us, and you can check out the VODs on that on for our Let's Play on the Xbox Now YouTube channel.
There you go. Johnny, where can we find you?
I am Johnny Bo everywhere. Twitter, Twitch, TikTok, YouTube,
all the places.
I'm also I'm excited for the Halo Infinite podcast. That is, it's been really fun to talk about Halo again. And then also the Halo 5 gameplay is just a blast. I cannot recommend that enough, even though I'm one of the people playing in it. I'm still recommending it. And I know we're trying to say that we're Nintendo fanboys. And we're playing Halo every night.
Yeah, we're gamers, is what we are.
I say I'm working my, I'm trying to platinum Ratchet and Clank. I've been having a lot of fun with that as well. So we enjoy games. That's what we do.
Exactly. John, also your podcast, your other podcast, what's it called?
Oh yeah. It's called the Game Pack Podcast. We just did our like E3 reaction show yesterday. And I feel like I was probably a little bit more negative on the Nintendo side as well. I was complaining about the control scheme in Breath of the Wild. That's how bad
I saw your I saw your tweet about that. I almost want to unpack that for a second, because I've gone back. I think I mentioned this on this podcast a couple of weeks ago when I went back and I'm in front of a Lionel in my current save, and it's like, yeah, you're screwed, because you just gotta.
Everything's backwards.
You just gotta teleport sense. And run away. Yeah, because I have to pull it up. It made perfect sense when I spent 100+ hours nonstop playing nothing else.
Why am I jumping with X?
Exactly. Why is X the jump button?
I'm almost wondering if they painted themselves into a corner and they have to stick with that, or if they are gonna revamp and maybe make it make a little more sense. But you're not wrong in saying
I'm glad clunky. I'm not alone, because no. I was getting dragged through the mud last night.
In the moment like, in the moment after you spend a lot of time, it makes sense. But if you are playing conventional games, doing conventional things, going back to that game, you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I was throwing swords away.
Every time I've gone back to Breath of the Wild, the first thing I've done is just throw my sword. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Also, like trying to switch to a shield into like a different type of arrow, like nothing makes sense. Mm-hmm. None of the buttons make sense.
The people that do those crazy shield jump, shield crazy all the way down the mountain, and then do crazy geometry explosions.
That's all they've been playing for 5 years.
Exactly. It's crazy.
I love it. Guys, you can follow me everywhere at N64Josh. If you do like this show, head on over to iTunes. Give us a positive review. If you don't, please don't. We don't want to hear it. So we love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you're here with us live, thank you so much. We are recording these. I don't know. We may set an actual time, but
it's
lot of
late in the night, morning right now.
A lot of late night, early morning content is 1 a.m. for me right now. And we're going live everywhere. I'm even live on Periscope, AKA Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, of course, and the N64 Josh YouTube channel. So thank you guys, and we will see you in the next one.